Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're going to talk a little bit about the next holiday in today's show. My first guest today is Britta Bellay. She's the editor of E, the environmental magazine, and she's going to share some insights into what goes into publishing a successful green magazine. And if you didn't spend all of your money on Black Friday, we'll also look at some green holiday gift ideas. And later in the show, we'll talk about year end. How do you view it? Do you view it as an end? Do you view it as a beginning? Well, dream life coach Joyce Chapman views it as neither, but she does see it as a great opportunity for realigning with the lives we really want to live. And she'll share some simple strategies for making that happen. That's coming up later today. First, I'm very pleased to welcome Britta Bellay. She's the editor of the E, the environmental magazine, an award-winning nonprofit environmental magazine. Her analysis as an eco-expert has been sought on numerous TV programs, and she's written many green articles for various publications. She's also contributed to several environmental books and has authored The Complete Idiot's Guide to Renewable Energy for Your Home. Britta Bellay, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a great magazine. I want to talk about the magazine. I want to talk about some green holiday gift ideas too. But let's look a little first at your background, Britta. Have you always been an editor? How did this lead to you working for E, the environmental magazine?
For me, it came about really both my interest in the topic and really where the magazine's located. I'm in Connecticut, and that's where the E! Magazine is based. And so I in a sense, more fell into this a few years ago, but it's just been an amazing process of discovery. This is really, there's no end to looking at everything from that environmental standpoint and the impact of everything we do on the long-term health of people on the planet.
Yeah. What strikes me about this particular magazine, because I'm sent a lot of environmental issues, as you can imagine, but what strikes me about this is that you cover such a variety of topics, and yet it's still a very cohesive publication. And, you know, I've been managing editor and editor-in-chief and editor of several different publications over the years. I know just how much work goes into putting this stuff together. What's a typical day look like for you?
Well, we are a very small staff. And really, I'm an editorial department of one, but so we, you know, we're really kind of a constantly evolving publication. It's been around for 20 years, and so recently we've added things like a column devoted to eco style, because there's just so many more designers and types of clothing and accessories that are coming out now. So that seemed like an area that we should also cover, in addition to the regular columns we do on home topics, on health, on choosing healthier food and eco travel. So, you know, we're continually updating the magazine, I think, to be in touch with the world at large as people are becoming more aware of environmental issues, I think are becoming more savvy about concerns with chemicals and with greenwashing. So I think we are kind of responding to that, to that changing environment as well.
Yeah. So you said you're an editorial department of one. Do you have several writers who write for you? How does that work?
So it's almost entirely freelancers, although we have many very regular freelancers. And that will be also online. We are in the process of redesigning our website to really be much more current, to have a lot more daily content, and we have several of our longtime writers are going to become regular bloggers for us online on various topics. And yes, yeah, so it's, you know, it is challenging, and we are also, as a nonprofit, involved in grant writing, so raising funds to support the magazine as well. So we have that aspect as well.
Yeah. Now, you talked about some of the departments that you have. You cover health, you cover house and home, eco-style, as you said. In this issue I'm looking at, you talked about stylish, sustainable coats. You talk about eating right, marketplace, money matters, and consumer news. I mean, you really do cover a wide spectrum. How do you make the decision about the content that goes in each publication?
You know, we want to be something that is somewhat seasonally appropriate, something that connects with readers, is maybe giving them ideas on topics they hadn't considered, or looking more deeply into things than the average publication would, because for us, you know, every day is Earth Day. So we really tend to look at things on a much more detailed level, I think, than a lot of publications who might talk about, oh, hey, green gift ideas, you know, once a year. We do it every issue. So for us, we're getting much more into the nitty-gritty. And, you know, some of these are things that have become trends that we may address. Say everybody's deciding to go gluten-free, we'll take a look at that movement and whether or not does that, you know, is that a legitimate thing people should be concerned about. So really, yeah, exposing people to new ideas, to things they may not consider.
Mm. And tell me a little bit, I mentioned in the beginning that you're often called on as an eco-expert by the media, but tell me a little bit about the rest of the team that you work with on a regular basis.
Well, the former editor-in-chief, Jim Motivalli, who's now our senior writer, is still very involved and also does appearances for us occasionally. His topic of specialty is electric cars, so he wrote a feature for us a couple issues back on the coming of the electric cars, which is finally seeming to be underway.
Right.
And so he's a big part of the team. Our publisher and founder, Doug Moss, who's also the executive editor, has really taken on our syndicated question and answer column, which is called Earth Talk, and he's that's really become his project. It goes out every week to 1,800 publications. It's a free column. We provide it for free. And that helps to really get environmental information out into many publications that might not otherwise have any environmental content, and covers just a huge range of issues. Reader submitted questions, you know, and everything from where do I recycle this item to what's the difference between global warming and changing weather patterns, you know, so it can really run the gamut.
Yeah, this issue, they talk about the differences between farmed versus wild salmon when it comes to human and environmental health. And I know that's a big issue, too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I really, from news to sort of more green living ideas, it's really where we, you know, we try to really be a useful publication, I would say.
Yeah, and so do you have a specialization yourself?
Not specifically, although I've been writing more on issues related to toxins and health, and specifically I wrote a feature for E! Magazine related to autism and research that was looking at potential environmental triggers for autism, such as chemicals in common products, such as plastics, pesticides, and that is actually turned into a book. So I'm now writing a book on that topic, on that same topic of autism and
really?
Toxins.
It's a huge issue right now, autism, because more and more kids are being diagnosed. So how did this turn into a book for you? I know it's a huge issue right now.
I was actually contacted. Seven Stories Press is the publisher, and they were looking for someone to do a book on this topic and had found my article. So they contacted me and said, would I be interested? And I was. And so, of course, that's been, and that's, I'm in the process of writing it, I'm towards the end, but that's, you know, just been a lot of all the research that I've had to do into that particular topic has, it's almost like you're, you know, you become an expert as the more research you do, so that's where I'm at.
Anything in particular that surprised you the most about your research in that?
Really, the lack of regulation of chemicals in general. in this country has been, I think it's quite shocking. And the fact that there's really, with the chemicals that have been studied, very good evidence that they do cause harm, such as bisphenol A, BPA, which is in the lining of cans and in many plastic products, dental sealants, it's everywhere. And has been tied to many reproductive health problems, to infertility, to cancer, and still is allowed to exist in consumer products without any sort of regulation. And it's just, it really is sort of shocking that you have to prove to such a degree that something absolutely causes harm in order for it to be regulated.
Yeah, you'd think it would be the other way around. You know, we'd have to prove it's
it's safe.
Right.
Yes.
And we're not having, you know, it's like out there until we can prove, yes, you know, X number of people died from it or had brain damage from it or experienced cancer, whatever. It is very screwed up, isn't it?
Yes, and and so much is inconclusive. It's very hard to prove that one particular chemical causes one particular disease. In many instances, it's obviously a combination. Mm-hmm. Of chemicals or of other environmental factors. So it is very difficult to prove. The one thing that has been, I think, has been a good trend is that consumers are becoming so much more aware. They have so much more access to information, and they've been really leading the charge to get chemicals out of products. Phthalates, you know, have been banned from children's products, for instance. And so it's almost as though consumers, by causing, you know, stirring things up enough, can get companies to then voluntarily pull these things off shelves because they're not going to buy them.
Right, right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to look at some holiday gift ideas that you share in the magazine. Some interesting statistics here, too, when I come back. My guest in this segment is Britta Belli. She's the editor of E!, the environmental magazine, great magazine. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Coming next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, New York Times bestselling novelist Steve Barry. Join us at noon Pacific every Monday for the live show and listen to podcasts for past shows at conversationslive.net. Intuitive dream coach Joyce Chapman says there are no little dreams, that every desire is important, and that you deserve life to its fullest. As a dream activist, Joyce has helped thousands of people gain clarity about their lives and make positive changes. She can help you too. See more information at joycechapman.com. And if you have a question for Joyce regarding your dream, email joyce@joycechapman.com.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Britta Belli. She's the editor of E!, the environmental magazine. It's an award-winning nonprofit magazine, and as the title suggests, it's an environmental magazine. And my guest is often sought as an eco-expert on various subjects by the media. I wanted to talk in this segment, Britta, about some of the holiday gift ideas you have in this magazine. Now, this is a bi-monthly magazine. It comes out every 2 months, correct?
Right.
Excuse me. Frog in the throat. So I read in one of the articles here called Giving with Benefits, Leave a Meaningful Impact This Season. And I was shocked to read this. Well, first of all, they said that the average American consumer spent over $600 on holiday-related shopping in 2009. But according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, household waste increases by 25% between November and January, adding an extra 1 million tons of garbage to U.S. landfills.
Yeah, I mean, those are some shocking numbers, really. I think until you then think about maybe your own family and your own experiences and you realize, wow, I mean, really, how much are, you know, we've got the wrapping paper that we're throwing away, the packaging for any of the toys that are being opened. We've got the extra food that's being thrown out, I mean, even after Thanksgiving, the leftovers, you know. So there is, I think when you do start to think about it, you realize there is a lot of waste that sort of inherent, that just goes along with the holiday season. So that, and that was including everything from Thanksgiving on, you know. So it really does add up. So, yeah, I mean, in this article, we're just sort of encouraging people to sort of step back from it and perhaps think of ways that they can continue to give, but maybe in a way that it could be meaningful as opposed to simply all this disposable, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Some of the ways you talk about are giving donations in somebody's name. I've actually done that a couple of years, and some people don't like that.
Right.
But I figure, you know, especially with, you know, my friends, when people get to a certain age, they have pretty much everything they need or want. And to buy them just a gift just because we're told to, because it's Christmas, seems somewhat stupid, you know, at a certain point.
I mean, it really is just wasteful. And I think we see that now. I mean, I know in my own family, there's a cousin who has a re-gift party, which has, you know, kind of become a thing. Everybody brings a gift that they got that they really didn't want, and then they kind of trade it with each other. You know, but I mean, we've almost got so many that we've got unopened gifts, you know, sitting on closet shelves, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I liked about some of these ideas in this piece, it included sites where you could, online giving sites that they have now, where you could actually get someone a card, like a gift card, in a specific amount, but they can go online to this site and choose the charity that they want to donate it to.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Because so that to me, that gives it, it makes it a little more personal. And, you know, you might worry about giving to one charity over another, may not really be in line with the person's interest who you're giving it to. So I think that's, I mean, to me, that's a very nice way to give a personal gift and to have it have a real impact.
Yeah, and I also like that you talk in here about there's a site called AIP which helps donors decide. It acts as a charity watchdog because they think so many people are concerned about giving money to charity. Let's face it, we've heard of so many ripoff stories. So many stories where the money doesn't get to the actual charity or a very small percentage of it does. And using the details you describe in this article, I think it helps put people's mind at ease that, yes, my money is going where I think it's going.
Right. I mean, this the group you mentioned, AIP, has a charity rating guide. And if among the top rated charities, they have to give 75% or more of their budget, or spend 75% or more of their budget on their program.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't just be to administrative costs. You know, so I agree that it's very helpful to have a watchdog.
Yeah, and if people, I should have said AIP means stands for the American Institute of Philanthropy. And charitywatch.org is one of the sites. There's an elephant sanctuary, elephants.com. There's some great ideas in here for if you really want to make a difference by donating money.
Right, and in addition to the many environmental charities, there's health, women's issues, so there's really just such a range. It's almost staggering to really realize how many charities are out there, how much need is out there, and I think oftentimes it's just, you know, we don't hear about the goings-on of these groups, but it's also a good way for people to familiarize themselves with a lot of these nonprofits and all the amazing things they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. I was amazed when I did a little bit of research myself. I just plugged in a few research keywords and was just surprised by how much comes up. But I think having, right. you know, having somebody else like yourself having researched this and the AIP having researched the charities is a great idea. You also talk in the consumer news section of the magazine about solar gadgets. Everybody wants solar stuff these days. And you've got some actual toys here, which I thought were great. So I wonder if we could look at some of those. Do you have a favorite one of these that when you were looking at these?
You know, I wish I could say I'd tried them out. We didn't have the opportunity to try them all out. But there's just an amazing amount of solar gadgets. And the ones we've focused on, ones that are sort of assemble your own. Sometimes there's some assembly required. The cars, the race cars, are probably the most popular kind of solar gadgets out there, and there's a huge variety from very tiny little mini cars to much more complex race cars. And it really depends on, you know, the age of the person you're giving it to, what would be the appropriate gift, and how complex you want it to be. Obviously, if you have someone who's really into assembling and building, it will have, you know, the more complex ones will have more appeal. But the great thing about these toys is that they also obviously are teaching toys. So they teach about solar electricity, about green energy. They don't need batteries, which is also a nice...
Parents' nightmare. Yeah.
I forget the percentage of battery sales that happens at this time of the year, but I mean, this is like, you know, extreme battery time right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and those all end up in the trash eventually. So it's, you know, really, these are both fun and educational, if that's possible. I mean, I think it is sometimes, you know, to have the learning component just sort of built in, which is nice.
Yeah, I think this is I thought this was nice, maybe because I'm in radio, but solar-powered yeah. FM radio kits for about $22 at theethicalsuperstore.com. And yeah. They can build their own little radio here.
Yeah, and there's a house that is kind of like an eco house. So it mm-hmm. has the wind turbine, it has the solar panel, and various things actually work. You know, the turbine spins and the doorbell rings. And it's kind of cool. And I mean, it's all activated by solar power. There's a lot of these little desktop creatures too. You know, a little caterpillar, a crab that walks, a monkey that swings. Which really are very fun gift ideas, I think, for a Secret Santa and office thing where, you know, you're only spending $10 maybe on the person. I think, you know, it could be kind of fun for the office as well.
Right, right. Yeah, and a lot of kids like to put stuff together as well, so this kind of satisfies both needs there.
Right, exactly.
One of the other things, and let me just find this segment, you have in your eco style segment in the magazine, you talk about warmth worn well, and you have some sustainable coats here, some vegan coats, which I thought were really cool too.
Right. I mean, now it's there's such a wide variety among eco fashion, from the kind of couture, you know, high end styles to very like kind of sporty, you know, ski jackets, and it's possible to find almost anything. A lot of it, you look first, I guess, for the material that it's made out of. Amazingly, there are like fleece type fabrics that are made from recycled plastic bottles. So, I mean, even a store like Patagonia carries a lot of these fleece jackets. And, you know, then there's organic fabrics, organic wool, hemp blends, where you look for materials that are more friendly in terms of growing than, say, cotton, such as bamboo, mm-hmm. which is a great fabric.
Yeah, bamboo is lovely.
And it doesn't require all the chemicals and the water for growth. So much healthier for the planet.
Yeah, I love this one. There's one in here with a Japanese model, and it's beautiful. It's the yellow one with the flowers on it. It's really pretty.
Yes.
Not your what you think of as a typical sustainable coat.
Exactly, right. And it really has evolved so much from, I think, you know, people may still think of the, you know, kind of Birkenstock sandals and you know, things that look kind of very earthy, and that's no longer the case. Now you see things that really have a nice, they're stylish, they're urban. It's as eco fashion is as many facets as the fashion world itself. I mean, yeah, it really covers all varieties and styles, and you can walk into a Walmart and find an organic T-shirt now. I mean, it's
yeah.
So it's also not as price restrictive as it might have been.
Mm-hmm. Under the tools section, you have a tools for green giving, and you talk in there about resources for eco-awareness and action. And you've got some great, I was looking at these because I thought about buying some myself this year, some snowshoes.
Yes.
Boy, have they changed.
You know, amazingly, they're just so lightweight now, I think is the thing. And for our readers, really, I think we included that really just to the company itself that we highlighted, Crescent Moon Snowshoe Company, you know, really adheres to its sustainable commitments as a company. No, they use no PVC. They use recycled boxes, use some recycled aluminum. So, and beyond that, just the idea of being able to get out and explore in the winter and to not treat it as a time where you just have to kind of hole up indoors. Snowshoes are a great way to get out there and really experience the world in winter.
Mm-hmm. And for animal lovers, you've also got a little segment here called Lower Your Paw Print.
You've got
some gift ideas there for dogs in this particular one.
Yeah, the company Planet Dog is just, it's kind of the amazing merger of pet products and environmental commitment. And they've just got, I mean, just a ton of products that are made with recycled materials. They donate to foundations that support dogs across the country. And their dog toys, which I've actually used with our dog, are just extremely resilient and durable. And, you know, one of the things that really makes a product environmentally friendly is that it lasts, you know, that it's
right,
not kind of
right.
cheaply made and it's going to break and have to be thrown out. So that's a big part of it. And their toys really hold up, I can say.
Yeah.
Personal experience.
Yeah. So since you are the editor of this green magazine, I'm assuming that you make a green, you have a green holiday yourself. What are some of the elements that you incorporate at home in your personal life?
Well, you know, trying to avoid the crazy consumerism as much as possible. I've always been big on saving wrapping paper, making decorations and crafts at home, like, you know, with my daughter, using things that we have in the house or things that we found outside, you know, making our own wreaths out of pine cones that we find. Trying really wherever possible not to purchase a lot of new stuff, whether it's for gifts or for decorations or anything that's kind of that throwaway, one-time use item.
Mm-hmm.
LED holiday lights are great. That's another way to go. So getting lights that are long-lasting and consume a fraction of the energy as typical lights.
Now, can I ask you a question? When we're buying stuff that claims to be green, because a lot of stuff claims to be green that I've kind of been a little suspect on myself when I've seen it in certain stores. Is there a particular label or a particular byline that we need to look for to make sure it is genuinely a green claim?
You know, it's tough. USDA organic, we know, you know, that stands for something. It means that this was grown, you know, without pesticides, adhering to certain standards. The same isn't true for other types of consumer products, at least not yet. But, you know, with things like cleaners and other things, the word green itself is not regulated. So, you know, anyone can say something green or all natural.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't really have any meaning. But to look for, you can look for the amount of recycled content something has. You can look for a company that discloses all its ingredients, particularly with things like cleaners and personal care products. If they're not disclosing what's in it, then probably there's a lot of things you might not want to know about, mm-hmm. or there are chemicals, you know, that that are not healthy. But the ones that go out of their way to tell you it has, you know, and then you look for things that are made with based in oils, natural fragrances, as opposed to plant-based ingredients. So all of those things.
Okay.
And, yeah. the word organic is regulated. So, if something is organic, it may say that it's a certain percentage organic, but that's always a good thing to look for as well.
Okay. But as far as green goes, we need to actually look at what's in there and what's being used in the product.
Right. Definitely a lot of companies are just throwing that word around, that term around, trying to kind of cash in on the movement.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So a lot of work goes into this, as I said at the beginning of the show, and I really do think this is a great magazine. And how long does it take you to put it together? Does it take you that whole 2 months to put this together?
It definitely does. I mean, from start to finish, and with the editing process, and the proofing process, and the, finding of the artwork. We're working right up until the last minute, always. In part because we do have a very small staff. You also want it to be as timely as possible. When you're dealing with a bi-monthly magazine, you're literally updating right until the end,
right.
Because, so much can change. So we do try to cover topics that aren't time sensitive, that are more, especially for our feature stories, that are our broader looks at major issues important.
Well, kudos. Good job.
Thank you.
What would you like to leave our listeners with today? What do you want them to know about the magazine and anything in general?
We hope that people will visit us on our website, emagazine.com.
One thing I want to just throw in here, because we talked about green gift holiday ideas and we didn't mention this magazine.
That would be another wonderful green gift idea. Would be a subscription to eMagazine, of course.
There you go.
And we do have a Facebook page as well, and we're on Twitter. And we're really excited about launching our new site. It should be by the end of December. So I would love for people to check us out again when that happens, and to really start to comment on our site and to follow us on a more regular basis. That would be terrific.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being with us today. And please give out your website information one more time.
Sure. It's www.emagazine.com.
Okay. Britta Ballet, thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Thank
you. And my guest again, Britta Ballet, she's the editor of E, the environmental magazine, and some great gift ideas in here, but also some great topics in general. They cover everything from home to home gadgets to health, and style and consumer news, money matters, marketplace, eating right, really, really intense information, good information. And please do stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking with Live Your Dream life coach, Joyce Chapman. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicky St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicky asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. and visit AndreaKay.com. That's AndreaKay.com for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate, making a difference, one word at a time.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live. I'm Vicki St. Clair. And in this segment, we'll be talking with Joyce Chapman. She's a dreamer, dream activist, a speaker, teacher, counselor, and author. And for the past 30 years, has dedicated her life to education and motivational training for individuals and businesses nationwide. And today, she's going to share some things that we can do to get ready for 2011. Joyce Chapman, welcome to the show.
Hi. As you were reading off that, I thought, I should have a shirt that's printed up that says all those things. Then nobody would have to wonder who I was.
There you go. Well, I'm surprised you don't have a shirt that says something
like
that.
Well, I know, I should. Hi, Vicki. Nice to talk with you.
And it's nice to talk with you, too. And yes, we are getting to that time of year when people either think, oh, this is, you know, thank goodness this is ending. I was talking with somebody the other day. She said, I can't wait for this year to end. And I was like, you're wishing your life away. but there is always, not always, there's often a sense of, oh, let's just, you know, get through the rest of this year. And Eric's nodding his head here. And let's begin fresh. You say it's not a beginning. It's not an end. It's what?
Well, it's just, I believe that to awaken each morning to, okay, what's the day going to bring, is just the way to live. And that's the way I see the end of the year and the beginning of the new year. It's just like if there's some things you don't want to take into tomorrow, then don't take them. Mm. And at the end of the year, and as you just said, you know, a lot of people are ready for the year to end. But my suggestion, and as a dream coach, I highly recommend that you don't take anything that you don't want to take into the next year.
I'm going to follow that advice.
Oh, good. That's why I'm telling you.
I liked this quote. You sent me a quote by Hal Borland. I'm not sure who Hal Borland is, but it said, year's end is neither an end nor a beginning, but a going on with all the wisdom that experience can instill in us. And I think this came from your December newsletter. Is that right? Or your November?
That's right. Yeah. I haven't sent it out yet, but I did send it to you. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that everybody listening today will want to get it, will sign up today.
Okay. Well, where do they sign up if they want your newsletter?
I just go to my website. There's a little box at the bottom of the first page, and that's joycechapman.com.
Okay. So you say that you don't see it as a beginning or an end, but a perfect time to realign with what we want to do, with how we want to live, so that we're fully aligned with our authentic self and our dreams and goals. So you talk about some strategies that we can implement between now and the holidays, and I suspect some people might be going, are you kidding me? Do you know how busy it is between now and the end of the year with the holidays and shopping and cooking and putting up with relations and all kinds of things? So talk to us about, why is this the perfect time?
Well, I really do see it as a perfect time because I really live from, you know, not taking, and I already said that, but not taking yesterday into tomorrow. And by always aligning with what I do want rather than what I don't want, it's just it's a wonderful way to live. There's a freedom in that, Vicki.
Yeah. It's so important to focus on what we do want versus what we don't. I think, and we've talked about this before in previous shows, but sometimes you have to identify what you don't want to get it out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
And to give yourself a little bit of clarity about what you really do want. But you know, I know people, and I'm sure you do, who are stuck in that, I don't want this, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be in that job, I don't want you know, to be in that house or that environment, without ever really moving past and beyond that. And that's probably because it takes a little work to move through that, right?
It does take a little work. And that's one of the reasons, and of course, you know this, Vicki, I'm so passionate about keeping a personal issue that got the problem or even what you as an end result that you want, and you can take it to your journal, and it's amazing. I know I have to convince some people that it's amazing that we really always know what our own answers are.
Yeah. You know, for people who don't like journaling, I suggested this to somebody who called me a few weeks ago that, you know, I really, really hate journaling. Years ago, before I got free phone calls to England, I would make tapes to send. I would record tapes on a little microset to send to my mother, you know, and I would do them while I was walking the dog. And I'd just blather about anything and anything that popped into my head. And it was very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It helped us stay in touch a lot. But also, she actually sent a couple of them back to me. And she said, I'm sending these back to you because you said some things in here I think you need to rehear. And I thought that was very wise of her. And when I went back and listened to them, I was like, wow, yes, I really do need to change certain aspects of my life at that point. So that might be a way for other people to journal, don't you think?
Oh, I totally think that's a wonderful way. And because, of course, you would guess that I've had a lot of people say that. I hate to write. I don't want to write. Can I do it on a computer? Or can I just tell a friend? The difference between writing it down is that, in my opinion, it becomes more real. But so does the tape. I think I've told you this before, Vicki. I carry a little mini tape recorder. Of course, now with all the new gadgets, you don't even have to do that.
Right.
But it's like immediate, like, oh, I want to journal about this. Oh, I just realized I just did something I don't want to do. You know, just live in the moment, but yet capture the moment. So it's like you don't wake up the next morning and go, oh, shoot, I wasn't going to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And by journaling, you know, and keeping a tape recorder and keeping that on record, you have a record. And I love that your mother sent that back to you.
Mm.
What a wonderful idea, because that's like, you know, digging out your old journal and reading. Like, okay, I was stuck in 2094, why? And I don't want to be there again, although I'm feeling some of the same things.
Yeah, I do. I think when you look back, you can see patterns, and it's either, you know what, you've got to own up to this, Vicki, or you've got to stop whining about it.
Yeah,
one way or the other, you've got to do something.
We've probably heard this a lot in many different ways, but, you know, revisit that time. You know, as the quote that you said, that it's about life experiences, and, you know, and you can either learn from those life experiences and then, you know, take it into a new place, or you can blame somebody for those life experiences and live in the victim self.
Right,
and
right.
I am so against that. And you again.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about moving into next year, and I'm going to read a quote by T.S. Eliot that you sent to me. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Joyce Chapman. Please stay with us.
The Northwest Traveler explores the great Pacific Northwest to meet the people and experience the events that make living here special. Join him on his adventures as he visits the local farmers markets and art fairs to find new and interesting gift ideas from locally grown foods to wines and art. Join him on his adventures every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. on Alternative Talk Radio 1150 KKNW.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Charms, and all your charms, whenever I want you, all I have to do. is dream.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and my special guest, Joyce Chapman, life and dream coach. You can find her at joycechapman.com. And we're working a little bit off her December newsletter in this segment for this month. I want to read a quote. Was this in your newsletter, Joyce, the T.S.
Yes,
Eliot?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm just going to give away all your newsletter stuff.
Well, that's okay, because we can't hear too many words of wisdom, you see?
But you talk about making a shift as we move into the new year. And T.S. Eliot said, "For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. And to make an end is to make a beginning." That's what it's all about, right?
I love that thought, because it's like, okay, I can be brand new, is the way I perceive it. It's like, okay, I don't have to be the old me. Not that it's bad or anything. It's just I could get to be brand new. It's living. I love the word living in the, you know, the phrase living in the wonder,
mm-hmm.
Living in the magic. Those aren't just words when you really do step into that.
Well, I have a story that I want to share with our listeners and with you too. And every day I walk my lovely border collie, Dylan Thomas. I walk him usually very early in the morning, 6 or 7-ish, down at Titlow Beach Park on the South Tacoma Narrows. And there is an animal down there that one day Dylan alerted me to. He started barking crazily. Oh, I have to back up a second, because I'd been walking there one evening a couple of weeks before, and I saw this tree which somebody had axed down, and I was most indignant about these horrible vandals. Then a couple of days later, I was noticing that somebody had been making these, what I thought were axe marks on all of these trees. And then a little kid, it took a little kid to tell me this, it's a beaver. There's a beaver in the pond. and it is a beaver. And he or she has attacked several of the trees, brought down several of the trees, and mutilated some of the really big, I mean, huge trees that I couldn't get my arms around. Like halfway, I could probably get my arms around some of these trees. But when I was walking this morning, knowing what we're going to talk about today, I actually picked up some of the little chips. I don't know if anybody who's watching on camera can see this, because this is really a display thing. But I was looking at how little the bites were that these beavers were taking from the tree. I mean, some of the fragments of the tree are really tiny, and yet they just keep going and going and going, and eventually the tree comes down. And I thought, I have to take this away myself as a lesson in persistence and consistency. And so I'm actually going to keep those little bits of wood around on my desk just to remind me that, you know, it does. You talk a lot about taking small steps every day, and sometimes I get impatient with that. I want big results. But it is those little acts every day that fell those big trees for those beavers. And I just saw that as very profound this morning for some reason.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much. I'm going to tap into my beaver self. Because that is exactly what it takes to live one's dream. And you know, as you disclose, that it does, sometimes it's hard to take the little steps, but the little steps lead us to the medium-sized steps, and the medium-sized steps lead us to the biggest steps. And one of the things that I'm passionate about is claim your biggest dream, because when you claim your biggest dream, everything else, you know, it's not insignificant, but mm-hmm. everything else will lead you there.
Right.
And the beaver definitely has a clear picture of where he was.
He does. And when you've claimed that biggest dream, you know, remember the beaver who's chipping away day by day with his teeth.
I think there must be another newsletter in there.
I just thought it was, you know, a good lesson. This I spent quite a bit of time, like, looking at all the trees and just figuring out how this beaver has made... I mean, he's mutilating the trees, but, you know, you got kudos for persistence.
Well, it is, and, you know,
and
you have
job.
Evidence, too.
It's his job.
And the chips are the evidence, you know, like what it's taken. And, you know, you and I have talked about the fact that it's really wonderful to put things around you to remind you, you know, I say make a dream board to remind you what you want. I know you've talked about an inspirational wall, which I loved. And, you know, many people have called it many different things. But to, like, those steps that you've taken already. Mm. And the beaver just has to see the tip. We have to see maybe sometimes a little bit more visual.
Yes. Yeah, and then there was, one more story I'll share with you because I think this was significant too. Like last night, I was really tired and I didn't want to read or do anything. I just kind of, you know, I took a hot shower and flopped on the bed. And I was flicking through Comcast On Demand and I saw Ewan McGregor's Long Way Home. I don't know if anybody has seen that. It's about Ewan McGregor, the actor, film star, who went on a road trip, a 17,000-mile-plus road trip on a motorcycle with his good friend, who's also an actor, Charlie Borman. And that was very inspirational for me, too, because they went to places like Mongolia, and they're about to hit Siberia. And, you know, seeing these people who live out in foreign cultures where they have, they're still, you know, tilling the land by hand and horse-drawn plows, and some of them don't even have that. That was so inspirational to me. I saw that as another, okay, this is letting go of the old and moving forward with the new for the new year. And you talk about stretching ourselves. Talk a little bit about how we can do that and how we can measure that stretch.
Well, you know, piggyback on your story there, because that's beautiful. And, it's, you know, life is a journey. How many hundreds of quotes have been said about that? And that if we absolutely see ourselves, you know, reaching for a new destination or taking a trip, and, you know, we look at this coming year as taking a trip. You know, what do you want to see on that trip? Who do you want to be on that trip? And tell other people about that. Sometimes it's difficult to share, but guess what? When you share, Vicki, when you share with something, it makes it more real. And I believe in stretching, you know, stretching into a new place. And if I tell you I'm going to write a book, then you'll know I'm going to write a book. And that stretches me into, okay, Vicki knows I'm going to write a book. You know, I'm just using that as an example. So now at least one other person. And then if I tell four more people, five people know that that's what I'm going to claim for myself in 2011. And it really is so much like taking a trip. And like you say, and you will meet other people. You will see different views. You will probably get a new perspective.
Mm.
Very likely get a new perspective.
Right, right. Well, I know that you are working on some online courses for next year yourself.
Yes,
so we're going to hold you accountable for that, too.
I know, and I actually just got notification at 9:15 today that my January class is on, and it's going to be about discovering and achieving your life purpose, live your dream.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And that'll all be posted, or I'll send out a newsletter or notifications. And there's also going to be a free telechat coming up with an association called the International Association of Journal Writers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be about starting a journal. Hey, if anybody out there said, I hate to keep a journal, then they should tap into the December 9th free telechat, and I can give that information too.
Okay. And that's all up on your website at joycechapman.com.
It's all up on my website, or they can always just email me and say, you know, I heard you say, and give me the information, and I'll send links and all that good stuff too.
Okay. One other thing I want to mention very quickly, Joyce, because we're almost out of time, and that is there's more stuff in the newsletter. I haven't gone through the whole thing here. So if people would like to sign up for the newsletter, they can do that at joycechapman.com. But you also say that you would like people to write, to tell me about your list. What in your list is motivating you, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
And by sharing that with you, they automatically get entered into a contest for a free one-hour coaching session.
I know. A life-changing coaching session.
A life-changing coaching. Of course, we want it to be life-changing.
And I'll wear my shirt during that time.
And one other thing, because we really have to run in just a minute, but we talked in the beginning of the show about some green holiday gift ideas. And this, you have some life-changing holiday gift ideas. You have a series of books that you've written. What do you recommend people start with if they're interested in buying a gift for someone?
If they're interested in journaling, the Journaling for Joy. If they're really interested in discovering and achieving their life purpose, then they'll live your dream. Because there's some similar, you know, there's some crossover, but
okay.
The truth is that they are pretty, focused in on the Celebrate Your Dream.
Okay. Okay. All right. So that can all be found at joycechapman.com. Any questions, you can contact Joyce directly. She'll be happy to answer those questions for you and give you some advice on which book would work best. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter and enter the free drawing for a free 1-hour coaching session with Joyce Chapman. Thanks so much for being here.